Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchDailyCast.com. Good Sunday evening from March 26, 2023. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks, and this is our big WrestleMania preview edition of Wrestling Night in America. It's going to be all WrestleMania all night. So we'd love to hear from you. 515-605-9345 is the number to call. I've already got several people on hold. And, of course, WNIALivecast@gmail.com is where you can email us your questions, your thoughts about WrestleMania. That email address is going to become important because next weekend, as we did last year, we're going to be going live both nights of WrestleMania. So Saturday night after WrestleMania goes off the air, I'll be hosting the reaction show live, Wrestling Night in America, taking your phone calls and emails, same phone number, same address as tonight. And then we're going to do it all again the next night, Sunday night, the second night of WrestleMania. We'll be doing the same thing, taking your phone calls and emails, your live reaction. We've already got a live correspondent lined up for both nights of WrestleMania. We'll be hearing from him on both nights. So really exciting stuff coming up here as we are in the midst of WrestleMania season. Still one episode of Raw, still one episode of SmackDown to go before the big show next weekend. But I hope you'll join us. I hope you'll email and call us up and let us know what you thought of WrestleMania next weekend when we're live on the air. But we're live on the air tonight. And so I'd like to bring in my co-host for this evening, Frank Pettiani, PWTorch.com contributor. And Frank, welcome to the big show, one of the biggest ones of the year previewing WrestleMania here tonight.
Thank you for having me, Greg. As always, I appreciate it. I feel like I have big shoes to fill for those that have done this in the past that have previewed WrestleMania. So I look forward to, matching some of the great work that has been done in the past. And I'm wondering if I'm one of those on-site correspondents you spoke of, because I will be at night two of WrestleMania. I will be doing a Burbank layover. So I will be hopping an Uber down to SoFi Stadium, and we'll be viewing the show in person. So, yeah, I am looking forward to that very much, my first WrestleMania in person.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I mean, feel free to call us up, or if it's easier for you, email us. I'd be really interested in hearing your thoughts, especially from someone who's attending live for the first time. So definitely love to hear from you next week, Frank. But tonight we have two nights of WrestleMania to preview all in one show here. Usually the way we do this is we break it down. The matches that will happen on night one, we'll talk about those first, and the matches that will happen on night two, we'll talk about those second. But as of tonight, WWE hasn't really, at least publicly, separated the matches into night one and night two. They've done it with some, but not all of them. So what we'll do is we'll go through the matches first that have not been assigned a night, and then once we're done with those, we'll go to night one, and then we'll do the only match so far announced for night two, which is the biggest match of the show, of course. So let's start with a match that was just announced this past Friday on SmackDown. This one's a long time coming. Rey Mysterio versus his son, Dominic. It finally took Dominic antagonizing his mother and his sister at ringside for Rey to not only accept a match that Dominic has been wanting for a long time, but also to physically go after his son, knocking him out. So this is, I think that the separation of physicality, that's something we talk about a lot in terms of building up major matches. You know, the theory that you want to keep these two guys apart, you want their first physical interaction to be at that show so it feels right, special. And for the most part, they've done that with this. The other thing I'll say is, and I think a lot of people are kind of coming over to this side, is the Bloodline obviously is the best storyline that WWE has done in a long time. It's the best story they're doing right now. It's really hard to find other good stories WWE is doing, but I think the Mysterios one has, especially over the last month or two, really established itself as a story that is a feather in the cap of WWE creative. I mean, Dominic is getting tremendous heat. Rey Mysterio is over as a babyface like he always is. But there was always risk of maybe the fans turning on Ray because he was too soft. You know, he wasn't going after his son like a lot of fans believe, but they haven't done that. They have not turned on Ray. So I think this has been a really good drawn out storytelling here in this feud.
Absolutely. I agree, you know, and as someone that really wasn't on board with the story in the beginning, because I just didn't buy, you know, the whole father versus son thing, you know, especially in real life, you know, when you see on their social media, they're taking pictures together and stuff like that. I mean, I think they've cut that out and obviously did the angles, you know, like around Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, and all that stuff. So they really they've done a good job with this. And, you know, I tweeted the other night, hadn't really been tweeting, watching shows lately, but I tweeted the other night, I said, like him or not, Dominic really gets it. He really does, you know, and it's not like he has to be the best wrestler or anything like that. That's not what this is about. You know, this is about the story that they've told between the two of them. And it's really been done nicely. You know, I think that's one of the things that I've liked under the Triple H regime versus the Vince McMahon regime. You know, you kind of get story beats, you know, you kind of get a little layer week in and week out, you know, building towards, you know, what they're ultimately going to do. And I think they paced this very well. There might've been a little bit of, all right, Ray, what's going to, and you might've even tweeted out during a Raw, what is ultimately going to break Ray? You know,
yeah.
And I think when and you know, I'll give credit to Brandon who pointed this out on the post show when they announced, I think it was on Raw last week, that, you know, Angie, the mother and the daughter would be at ringside. You just knew. I mean, you just knew that it was going to happen. So I'd be curious to see what I don't know if the viewership for SmackDown's come in yet, but I would be curious to see what the viewership number is. If there was a bit of a spike, you know, then that kind of tells you that people were invested in this story, you know, just to see how it would play out. But no, I think they've paced it well. And given the pop that Ray got when he hit Dominic, I know you talked about not having any physicality, between the two of them. And I'm with you on that. I'm old school like that. You know, I like the physicality saved for the match. I mean, it was necessary. You know, he had to, you know, he had to deck his son, you know, I mean, that's a real life situation. That's a real life situation that you could believe, you know, I mean, if I told my mother to shut up, please forget about it. My father, God rest his soul, you know, you know what I mean? What I would get, my own, I mean, you know, if I told my mother to shut up, especially, you know, an Italian mother, you tell an Italian mother to shut up, forget about it. you know, so, no, it's really done well. And, I'm looking forward to the match. I'm looking forward to see what kind of match they have. And I'm looking forward to see who wins, you know? I mean, it's one of those things that, man, it could go either way. You could do, I guess you could do Ray winning to teach his son a lesson, and then they do a rematch later. And maybe they do something where Ray puts his career on the line. Because given that he's going into the Hall of Fame, right, it's got to be an indication that he's wrapping it up, at least on a full-time basis, you know? I mean, that's what they did
with Flair. WWE has just run out of headliners for the Hall of Fame.
Not for nothing, yeah. I mean, who are they going to – the only one that's not in is The Rock. That's the big name they haven't put. I mean, well, I mean, now, you know, Cena isn't in and Brock isn't in. I mean, so as time goes on, those guys are going to get in. You know, Sheamus, Orton, you know, so, I mean, they're going to have headliners down the line, but right now at the moment, you know, they're not going to put those guys in. So Ray, you know, probably is the guy. There's a lot to look forward to with this and beyond if they take this beyond WrestleMania.
And I think you hit on one of the important things too, is those I think they were, I don't know if they were social media or WWE.com exclusive videos of, Dominic and Rhea Ripley invading the Mysterio home around the holidays multiple times. And those were so well received. I really think that was the point where people started saying, you know what, this is pretty entertaining. This is a pretty good story, and started acknowledging that. So kudos to WWE for getting that one right.
If I could jump in, the way they spaced it out, because they knew they wanted to do this at WrestleMania. Like, if this was under the Vince regime, I mean, this might have been done on SmackDown, Like, this might have been done at, you know, like, pick your pay-per-view in between, whenever he felt like doing it, you know, because that's honestly how it felt like in the last few years of Vince's. Like, there was no, you know, like, we would sit here and say, well, they'll probably do it here, they'll probably do it there. He just did stuff whenever he wanted to, you know, and I think they paced it out nice. And the other thing, too, you talk about the heat, okay? Now, I'm not going to plug my – doing my show, I'm not going to, you know, fully plug it right now, but – I've had times where I've gone back and I've watched Eddie Guerrero, like 1997. You watch the heat that Eddie drew in 97. It's very similar to the heat that Dominic is drawing now. I mean, he's coming in with that smug look on his face, you know, and he thinks his you-know-what doesn't stink, you know, and the stuff that he says to his father and everything like that. Like, that's just drawing legit. And that's the kind of heat that Eddie, you know, got, you know, back in that time, you know. So, I mean, obviously, you know. I mean, he is his poppy after all, so, you know. It's,
of course. So let's move on now to, we've got a couple four-way tag matches, in other words, known as get a lot of people on the show matches. We have Braun Strowman and Ricochet, Street Profits, Alpha Academy, and the Viking Raiders in a four-way tag team match. So this will probably be good. I think these will be relatively short, and they will be very fast-paced. So I think that's going to be the positive out of these two matches. The other one we'll talk about in just a moment. You also have to imagine, even though there's no number one contendership associated with it, that the winning tag matches out of these matches will become the number one contenders to the respective tag titles. And to me, you know, Street Profits kind of lost to Austin Theory the last couple of weeks, so, you know, they may need a victory. Braun and Ricochet have surprised me in terms of not only their staying power, but their popularity and how well they've gelled together as a team. So, you know, those are the top two teams that I see coming out of this. You know, it may depend on who wins versus with the Usos and Owens and Zayn. Certainly Owens and Zayn should win. But it may depend on who comes out of that the winner as well.
Now, when I look at these matches, I have to work this in, these showcase matches. If this doesn't make you think of The Price is Right, you know, the showcase showdown, I don't know what does. That's what at least it's making me think of. So for anybody that finds that funny out there, thank you very much. I appreciate that you like my really weird sense of humor. Anyway, to your point, and you brought up where I was going, I think a lot is going to depend on who wins the tag matches or the title matches. And, you know, obviously we're going to get to Kevin and Sammy later on. Assuming they would win, you probably want to give them a match that they could win out of the gate to retain their title. So that makes me wonder if it would be either the Alpha Academy or the Viking Raiders. I know the Alpha Academy, like, I don't know what they are. I don't know if they're heels or baby faces. I know Otis is doing his thing with the models right now, you know, so, and there's strife between him and Chad, so I don't know there. I mean, the Viking, if you do the Viking Raiders, at least that gives them, that gives Kevin and Sammy, assuming they're winning, you know, a winnable match out of the gate. Let's just say that. Let's just say that this is for the right to challenge the champions. You know, if they do that, you know, on a Raw, or they do that at the next pay-per-view, whatever, you know, it is a winnable match. And WWE from time to time likes to remind you, you know, with certain acts that, you know, really hadn't been pushed lately, hey, these guys are important, you know, so this is a match where a team like the Viking Raiders, you know, could win. You know, you mentioned the Street Profits. I don't – it's been a weird deal with them, you know, because Montez got that shine at the Elimination Chamber match. You know, there's been a lot of talk of them breaking up. They've been working singles on TV, you know, so do they kind of go their separate ways after this? I don't know. And, you know, Ricochet and Braun – by the way, they're listed in Wikipedia as the Strokochet Express. Have you seen that?
No. That's terrible.
I mean, it's stupid. Come on. It's oh my God. It's let me not even think about some of the bad names that we've had in, because there've been so many, these like melting of two names or whatever the term is. I mean, I guess you could do them too, but like I said, I'm leaning towards a team that, you know, could be an easy first. Because none of these teams are winning the tag titles. You know what I mean? None of them are winning the tag titles moving forward. So at least if you do the Raiders, that's an easy first win for Kevin and Sammy, assuming they, you know, come out with the belts, you know, against the Usos.
We sometimes see on WrestleMania a match where the winner is kind of out of left field. There always seems to be on WrestleMania one match where you're like, I didn't see that one coming. And it makes me wonder if this match or maybe the women's tag match could be this year's version of that. So, you know, we'll have to see. Sometimes it feels like we put more thought into who might be winning and why than WWE does. It feels like they're throwing darts. I think your reasoning was sound there. The other match that is a four-way tag match is the women's side. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, Natalya and Shotzi, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, and a fourth team to be announced. This is unique in that there is no women's tag team title match on the card because the tag team champions, Becky Lynch and Lita, are in a separate tag match. So a six-person tag match. So their titles are not going to be defended. This one, though, feels a little more straightforward. I don't see any team other than Ronda and Shayna taking this one, Frank.
You're right. I mean, the fact that they were added without having to qualify was weird. I mean, now, I don't really care. I don't care if teams have to qualify for this or they don't have to qualify. They get announced. I really don't give a you-know-what. The only thing is at least be consistent, you know, be consistent. I mean, it's, you know, whatever. I mean, you do it one way for the men, you should do it the same way for the women, but whatever. Not my biggest issue. But, yeah, I mean, you do Ronda and Shayna, you know, then they go right up against Becky and Lita for the tag title. So, you know, that makes sense. Looking at the other teams, Natty and Shotzi, forget it. Liv and Raquel, maybe, you know. Especially if you want to keep Becky and Ronda apart. Like, I don't know, you know, if there's issues there and they don't want them, you know, in the ring together. And then who knows who the fourth team is. I don't even know who the fourth. Do you have any idea who the fourth team would be? I have no idea who the
I think it's like
a second chance something.
It wouldn't surprise me. That's how they've done it in the past for the Chamber and things like that. But, you know, it would be cool if they had a tag team in NXT that was ready to go and that they could put here. But, you know, it would have been at one point, you know, Toxic Attraction would have been a good option for that. But obviously they've broken up now. So I'm not sure if there's another women's team that's really ready for this spot and a team that people are really jonesing to see, you know, on the main roster in this kind of position.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know Cora Jade's been out, and it's funny that you mentioned NXT, because as soon as you started talking, I'm like, he's going to say NXT.
I'm very predictable, Frank. Nothing is not predictable.
Yeah, yeah. I know Cora's been out for a little while, so I don't know, you know, you try to marry her with somebody, whoever that would be, you know, maybe they're the fourth team, but not necessarily the winners, you know? I mean, like you said, I think it's a pretty done deal that Ronda and Shane are walking away with this, you know, and then that's their way of doing, you know, Becky versus Ronda, you know, I guess. I mean, that should have been one-on-one 4 years ago, but that's another story for another day. Yeah, so I'm with you there.
And then we have Edge versus Finn Balor, Hell in a Cell. We'll talk about this one, and then we'll go to our phone calls here. You know, this has been long rumored. I think it was rumored around the Royal Rumble time that they would be in some kind of cage, whether it was Hell in a Cell or a steel cage match. You know, I do like the fact that they've gotten rid of the Hell in a Cell concept pay-per-view because I think it makes these other pay-per-views feel like a bigger deal when you have these specialty matches that would normally only take place during the calendar year on that specialty show, and it wouldn't always feel special because you know it's coming up, and it's like, okay, you know, how are they going to shoehorn this stipulation now into this feud? And so this time it doesn't feel shoehorned in because they've actually waited till the appropriate moment, and I think it makes an otherwise kind of blah-ish Finn Balor-Edge match feel like a much bigger deal. So, you know, two thumbs up for getting rid of Hell in a Cell and only doing it when necessary and pulling it out at this juncture as well.
That's funny. Like, we talked about that when I had you on my show, you know, when we were just talking about gimmick matches as a whole, you know, and, you know, here we are in 2023 and, you know, they've done away with it, at least with Hell in a Cell. I agree with you there. You know, I know there's a lot of people that would say, hey, this Edge Judgment Day thing has gone on for too long. And I understand that. I really do. I mean, if you think about it, it's gone on since, my God, before SummerSlam, right? When Finn joined and Priest took out Edge. So, you know, it's gone on since then. It went through Extreme Rules, the I Quit match, and then Edge was gone, and then the Royal Rumble. You know, so it's taken a while. What I will say to make those people feel better, if you're looking to feel better about the situation, I'll be your therapist tonight. You know, Edge is a guy that, you know, he goes away for a little while, you know, based on his deal with WWE, and he comes back. So they've been able to kind of work that logistically into the feud, you know, and stretch it out to WrestleMania, because this is the kind of match that you would want to have on a WrestleMania. You would want to have a Hell in a Cell type of match at a WrestleMania to pay off a feud. And I assume this is going to be – I mean, they can't keep this going after WrestleMania, right? I mean, come on.
I mean, especially with the Cell stipulation. I mean, that's got to be
it. Yeah. No, and please, do me a favor. Keep everybody out of it. Can we have a Hell in a Cell match where nobody gets in? I mean, WWE has violated this so much over the last few years, you know, especially like the one that sticks out to me is with Brock with Roman and Braun Strowman when Brock got involved, you know, and then countless other, you know, misgivings in Hell in a Cell matches. So, you know, just let these guys settle it. It's between them. Don't let anybody else get in there. And listen, you know what? I'm okay. I don't know how you feel. I don't know how a lot of people feel. I'm okay if Balor wins this. I mean, listen, yeah. Balor, like him or not, okay, Balor is the guy that you're working with going forward. You're not going to have Edge. I mean, you might not even have Edge, period. I know that there's these rumors about him going to AEW. I don't know if they're true or not, but I don't know how much Edge has left. And, I mean, I think it's even been suggested that he might be wrapping it up soon. So if that's the case, give this thing to Balor. You know, he's the guy you're working with. And, you know, right now he's kind of felt like a mid-card act with this whole Judgment Day thing, but they have suggested to you that Judgment Day matters, you know, considering how much TV time they got. So give him this big win. And listen, you need challengers. You know, if Cody wins this, right, you're going to need challenges for him. Why not Balor at some point?
Yeah.
You do it at a pay-per-view, you know? So yeah, that's the way I would go. What do you think, Greg? Are you on the same page with that?
Yeah, I guess I don't have strong feelings either way about who should win. I can totally understand wanting to go with Edge as the babyface who, you know, probably overcomes the odds of the Judgment Day at ringside to get the victory and to put a bow on the feud. Like, I get that. But I also think you're right that Finn Balor has kind of been overshadowed in some ways by Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio within the Judgment Day. So I think a win at WrestleMania in Hell in a Cell against someone the caliber of Edge could be a launching point for Finn Balor. I'm not sure it would be into a title match with Cody Rhodes, but I think it would position him a lot higher on the card than he is now. And perception-wise, it would put him back at the top of the Judgment Day gang, where I don't think he really is right now in terms of just the character that people are interested in most in Judgment Day. And I think we also need to mention the fact that we're likely to see Demon Finn Balor here in this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, perhaps even, you know, rumors of Edge taking a page out of his Brood playbook for this one. So that would add a level of specialness to this match as well.
Yeah, I forgot about the whole Demon situation. And if you do that, then you got to have Balor win, because you've already beaten Balor as the Demon a couple of years ago with Roman Reigns. So, you know, if he pulls that gimmick out and you beat him again, you really can't use that. You know what I mean? You really can't use that moving forward. I mean, that's supposed to be for a special occasion. That's usually when Balor wins. I hadn't thought about Edge using the brood bit, but I know that gets over with people. So, yeah, you can. I guess you could do that. You know, what's Gangrel doing these days? Is he around? Maybe, you know, they could bring him in.
Oh, he's around, yeah. yeah. All right, let's pause there of our WrestleMania preview and head to the phones. Our first caller up this evening is Reverend Keith in Baltimore, Maryland. Reverend Keith, wonderful to hear from you tonight. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir, Greg and Mr. Frank, how are you tonight?
Doing well, thank you.
Pretty good. Pretty good. My hands are beaten up from putting a day bed together today from IKEA. So that was interesting. And we hit a little. I hit a little snag where I actually put like the base of it. I put it backwards, so like I couldn't put the drawers in. So once I discovered that, I'm like, you gotta be freaking kidding me! I had to pull the thing out, take it apart. I had to go back like 10 steps. I'm like, oh my god! Like this is the last thing I need right now, but. Anyway, other than that, doing pretty well, Reverend Keith. Hope you're doing well yourself.
Yes, yes, yes. The pain is starting to subside, and I'm moving around more and exercising. And, you know, God is able. He's a healer, you know. So thank you all for your prayers. And, it's going to take a while, but I'm getting there. I'm on the road to recovery.
Oh, God bless you. You know, I completely forgot about that heading into the show. I completely forgot about that. So I've been praying for you, and I hope you're on the right track, my friend.
Yes, sir. It's hip replacement, man. Yes, it's very serious. And, you know, but I thank God that, you know, like I said, the healing process has begun, and I'm moving around more. And, you know, hey, it's just a matter of time. You know, they say it takes 6 to 8 weeks to get back to some sort of normalcy. But, you know, I think that God is going to bless me to come back sooner than that.
Excellent.
I like it.
Well, that's great to hear. Great news. What do you think about WrestleMania, Reverend Keith?
Yes. I know you guys have paused somewhat in the middle of, I guess, the prospective night one card. It was interesting that they put John Cena versus Austin Theory first, and I'm sure that's because John Cena probably has a flight out of L.A. right away, and they, you know, he's pulling the Brock Lesnar. You know, if I'm not in the main event, you got to put me first, you know, but I'm going to start with his match. I truly believe that he will force Austin Theory to go to the next level. Austin Theory is a prodigy. He's come a long way. I used to follow him when he was in Evolve, and he's had some banger matches over the years, you know, against the likes of the now Gunther, Ricochet, guys like that in his developmental stages. And I think that Cena's going to put him over. I think that Cena's going to bring out the best in him. And I would not be surprised, since the two have been compared to each other over the years, that this will be the beginning of the fans having more respect for Theory and starting to maybe a potential babyface run for the end of this year. Not just yet, but the end of this year. What are your thoughts on Cena, Austin Theory?
This is one of the most intriguing matches to me on the card, Frank, just to see, you know, not only what John Cena's got left in the tank, but also just how do they play this with Cena being much less than even a part-timer and Austin Theory really being a guy that WWE sees something in. I think when the transition from Vince McMahon to Triple H happened, Theory kind of got lost in the shuffle. He lost his Money in the Bank briefcase, and there were people who said, well, Triple H obviously doesn't see Theory in the same light that Vince McMahon did, and that's kind of turned a corner now. And so I'm interested to see, you know, first of all, does Theory win, like Reverend Keith was talking about? And if not, what does he look like in defeat? Is it John Cena kind of passing the torch or giving some kind of approval to Austin Theory, or, you know, how that whole situation plays out? So this is one of the more intriguing matches on the card to me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Now, before we go any further, don't let John Cena fool you, all right? He's not catching an airline. He's got a private jet, all right? And as someone who used to be in that occupation before I got to the airlines, he can determine when he's taking off. That's how it works with corporate flying, with private flying. So don't let him fool you that he's got a plane to catch. He just wants to get out of there.
Right.
No, anyway.
He has a movie to make.
There you go. Where was I? I'm with Greg. It's very intriguing. The situation is very intriguing, especially with what the possibilities are. I mean, I was thinking of a scenario where maybe Cena wins this, and then, you know, he has the open challenge on Monday night, and Theory answers it, and Theory beats him there, you know? Because, like, I wonder with this whole deal, you know, did Cena say, all right, look, you want me to put this guy over, fine, but you got to give me a win first, you know, and okay. They do that. I don't know if that actually works. I don't know if that's something that would, because then it's kind of hot potatoing the title again. But, you know, it's going to a guy that matters. You know, if Cena wins this Saturday night, John Cena matters. It's not like you're passing it between Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston the way he did 100 times back in 2010. So,
True. You
know, it would actually matter, and Theory getting it back. Because let's not forget, under the Triple H regime, now we have to pay attention to things. You know, John Cena bringing up the night after WrestleMania might have been a hint that there's something big happening the night after WrestleMania. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, you know, as a possibility. I'm still in the camp of Theory winning and Cena kind of giving him that respect. Maybe not shaking hands, but kind of giving him that nod. You know, in Theory giving him that nod, but you know what I mean? And then still, you know, Theory comes out Monday night and, you know, declares he's the best of all time and then gets that heat. So that's more where I lean. But the other scenario was just something to think about. I don't know if you guys are on board with that or you think that's crazy, but it's just something I thought about before we got ready for the show.
It's quite interesting. Go ahead, Greg.
Go ahead, Reverend. It's interesting to think about. I think it's possible. I think we don't want to either, you know, try to read too much into every little thing, because I think you kind of end up disappointed doing that when things don't come our way the way that we thought. I think it's just hard for me to see Cena wrestling two nights. I think it's more the scenario of, you know, he wrestles at WrestleMania and then catches a private jet out of there. Like, I think, it's not meant to be a knock on Cena or his dedication or anything like that. It's just, like, he's so busy. Like, would he be able to dedicate the time even to wrestling again on Monday night? You know, I really question that. So, Reverend Keith, what you were going to say there?
I was going to say that I like Frank's scenario, and I think we discussed that Friday night with Brandon and Zach. But at the same token, what you just said makes sense. I think that the only reason why they're booking him in the first match is because he is someone that everybody can relate to. Everyone knows John Cena. And probably secondly, he probably is in the middle of some type of contractual agreement with either a movie maker or making a commercial with Honda or something that he has to leave. You know, because I would have probably had that match further down on the card instead of opening the show. However, in the wrestling business, we all know, gentlemen, that the first match and the final match are the first two main matches that you book as a booker, you know, or promoter.
Good
so,
point.
Yes. And
yeah,
all
let's
eyes...
also...
Go ahead.
I just want to make the point, too, that, you know, we're kind of suspecting and throwing it out there that, you know, Cena has a plan to catch or whatever like that. But, I mean, there are other good reasons to book this match first. Like you talked about, Reverend Keith, you know, the importance of the first match, especially on a WrestleMania card. We've seen world titles go on first on WrestleMania before. So, obviously, you know, WWE believes that is the place for important matches, especially at WrestleMania. So there certainly could be other booking-related reasons to have that match go on first.
True. So we will see. I think it'll be a very good match. I really believe that Cena is going to bring out the best in Theory, and I think at the end of the night, both gentlemen will have a greater amount of respect for one another. And again, I think that this will be like the lead-in to a potential face run for Theory perhaps beginning the latter part of the summer leading into 2024, because he has it. He really does. And he you know, Cena was his idol growing up. And if you look at them body-wise, physique-wise, wrestling-wise, they have a lot in common, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's just that Cena kills him on the promos, of course, because he's somewhat buried him, but he didn't really bury him because everything he said was true. Either way, come Monday night on Raw, he's going to have to address the crowd, win or lose, and can he measure up to the fans' chance that night? So it will be interesting. I think that's one of the matches that a lot of people aren't even focusing on. Now, my second point, you guys talked about all those, those showcase matches. I think both for them will be what they call in the business popcorn matches, you know, like cool-down matches. You know, because who really cares about either the four teams? Because they all have lost title matches before, you know, whether it's Strowman, Rick, whether it's the Street Profits, you know, those are just a way to get everyone some money, you know, get them on the show, get them seen, you know, which is a good idea in a way. But, you know, that they will be cool down matches.
It's the old Money in the Bank. It's the old, you know, well, I mean, they're doing the Andre Battle Royal, but they're doing that Friday night, so forget that
idea.
I know. You
know, yeah,
it's and we'll get to that in a second. Because Brandon brought this up. One of the faces in the graphic really got my attention. Bobby Lashley, like, you got to be kidding
me. All that upset me, man. Yeah.
Don't blame you. I don't. Yeah. I mean, that's really what these two things are. I mean, it's getting them on the card. To Greg's point earlier, it could be for the right to challenge for either tag team championship, you know. It's not anything that it's not anything that anybody's gonna really shine in, you know. I mean, unless Montez is gonna do some stuff, we talked about, maybe his potential singles run, but yeah, other than that, there's not a lot to these matches at all.
The other thing I want to throw in here is, you know, tag team wrestling in WWE for a long time has been kind of a joke, not really treated all that well at various times. I think, popcorn match or not, a short match or not, I think having teams other than the tag team champions wrestling on WrestleMania does sort of give importance to the tag team division too. So that's sort of like it's not something that you're doing purposely. It's something that fans may think about down the line is, having these guys on WrestleMania in the spotlight, having their WrestleMania moment is important, to showcase, I use that word ironically somewhat because that's what they've called these matches, but to showcase the tag team division, which, you want, especially Triple H, I mean, who's, I think, cares more about tag team wrestling than Vince McMahon ever did. I think you want to show the fans that, hey, we take tag team wrestling seriously here too, and this is an example of it.
Well, even Shawn Michaels' first appearance at WrestleMania was a tag match, right, with the Rockers. I don't know if it was the Twin Towers or the Orient Express. I'm looking it up now. I forget which team it was. But, that's what these matches are. It's the Rockers versus the Orient Express. It's, the Hart Foundation against the Nasty Boy. I mean, it's getting them on the – I mean, I'm generally more for getting the people on the card that matter – rather than just getting everybody on the card for the sake of doing so. But, and this was brought up on the post show Friday, for company morale, and especially that you have two nights, you probably do want to try to get as many people on so that people feel good about themselves. I mean, there is something to that. There is a value to that. And then if you meet these people down the line, you've treated them with respect by giving them something at a big show, now they'll be willing to, do something for you, go to that next level for you. So I do see why they would want to get as many people on WrestleMania as possible.
I would love to see them shoehorn Bobby Lashley back into his feud with Brock and have him be a part of the Brock Omos match. I'm hoping they go that route. If I was booking, I would somehow get Lashley involved with that because I'm anticipating that that match will go on night two. I would love to see because Bobby Lashley really deserves much better than being on the SmackDown Andre Battle Royal, and they could easily put him in and make that a triple threat, you know, with Omos and Brock. You know, not saying they're going to do it at the last minute, but that would be something I would like to see. Your thoughts on that, Frank?
You know, just to shoehorn him into a triple threat. I'd rather see Bobby have a singles match. I mean, if you're asking me to pick between, I don't know now picking between a match with him and Bray versus a triple threat, I don't know.
Well, Bray won't be there. He's not supposed to be on the card.
Yeah, I know. Just to shoehorn him in without any real story. I don't know if I'm in. I'd have to think about that a little bit. My answer right now is no, but, you know, upon further review, I might change my mind. Greg, what do you think?
Well, they have the backstory.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, but I think Lashley versus Omos is a more intriguing match than shoehorning Lashley in there, even with the story that they've told previously involving him and Lesnar. You know, I think people really believe that, look, Lesnar hasn't faced someone the size of Omos before. And seeing that one-on-one matchup and seeing whether or not Lesnar can really deliver the F5, I think there is a level of intrigue in that, even though the match isn't going to be good and it'll be kept short, probably. And so within the context of the match structure itself, I'm not sure what Lashley would add or... you know, I absolutely, is he deserving of being on the WrestleMania card? Absolutely. His work in the past year shows that. And if WrestleMania was about rewarding people for their work in the last year, he'd be on the card. But unfortunately, that's not always what it's about. So my vote is for Lesnar, Omos one-on-one. But I would like to see them. You know, it's just unfortunate timing. And sometimes that happens in wrestling. Reverend Keith, your third and final point for us tonight.
Okay. Am I allowed to go into the main event? I know you guys haven't gotten into that yet. You just discussing night one matches.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Now, if you notice, Cody developed a thing, and I was told that from the dark match attendance at SmackDown that the fans are starting to chant, "You're not ready to Solo." Do you think that this will cause Solo to snap and perhaps do something in the main event? Because I know it's going to be overbooked, that main event Sunday night. I just have a feeling it is. Personally, if I'm booking it, I would keep the belt on Roman and keep this story going and allow Cody to chase, because I think it's more money to be made company-wise in the chase, and I think it would give a greater respect to Cody, because Cody's detractors right now are saying, look, hey, he came in number 30. He was only in there for a few minutes. Gunther actually did all the work, but yet he won. The people that love him are saying, okay, we're glad to have him back. You know, he helped to found AEW, and he left there and yada, yada, and he's back, and he wants to do it for Dusty. But at the same token, you know, he should want to win it more for himself. I would like to see that being brought up more. Now, granted, it's a feel-good story, but at the same token, to me, why not have him lose and then have him win it in a rematch? There's more money in the chase. You could have, because it seems like Cody is tempting Solo, and I can see Solo as well as the Usos and perhaps even Randy Orton come back and cost Cody that match. And that's just how I would book it and then have rematches down the line. You know, most people think that it's a 99.9% fact that Cody's going to win. I doubt it. I disagree with that. Even if he wins, I don't think it's something that, you know, I just think they're doing it to so that the fans can go home happy. But we have to understand that the Bloodline are popular. They have a lot of fans, too. So it's kind of like the elite in AEW. You got your fans that like them. You got the people that don't like them. And it's the same with the Bloodline. So either way, whoever wins, I think the fans are going to be happy to a certain degree, depending on how it's booked. But those are my thoughts on the finish of that match, that he's barking up the wrong tree by enticing Solo. And I think Solo is going to snap, and it may cost Cody in the end. You know, and I think that's going to develop also a chant, "You're not ready." What are your thoughts on that?
You want to go first, Greg?
I side more with the fact should win. You know, you talk about more money in the chase. I mean, people have been chasing Roman for 2 years now. I think they've bled that well dry. Well, I mean, he's been chasing since WrestleMania or since Royal Rumble for 2 months, if you want to consider that. I just think at some point you've got to pay it off, and I don't think there's a better place to pay it off than at WrestleMania. You know, you can call it wanting to send the fans home happy. You can call it whatever you want, but, you know, to me, Roman's first loss in 2+ years has to be a big moment. It has to be a special moment, and WrestleMania is where those moments happen. And so I think, you know, with all the stuff that Cody's been talking about, with him being a babyface, and really the fact that fans, you know, there were some concerns that fans would maybe not take to him because of the Sammy situation. You know, the fans have been on board with him. And so I think, you know, you got to reward them too. And so to me, it's just I want a different look. Right, I want a different chapter in the Bloodline story. And to me, the most different chapter that you can achieve at this point is Roman without the title. Roman on the chase. Because, and I know I've mentioned it on the show before, we've never seen this version of Roman Reigns chasing the title. Right? He's always been champion. So what does that look like with him chasing the title? So to me, and you can do a rematch at Backlash as well. You know, you can have Roman Reigns get his rematch there. And I think that's, to me, that's a better story than Cody losing and getting a rematch, you know, having lost his opportunity at the championship already. So, you know, Frank, that's kind of where I fall on the side of. I'm not one of those 99% that believe it's automatic that Cody is going to win. I do think there's more doubt in my mind than that. But I think he should win. So what's your take on that?
I think there's a plan A, and I think there's a let me restart that. I think there's been a plan A with Cody winning and a plan B with Roman winning since probably when they made the decision to have Sammy challenge Roman. I think what they were looking at was, okay, let's see what kind of reactions he gets. Let's see how he handles himself. You know, they've had a couple of looks with that, you know, with the promo on SmackDown a couple of weeks ago, the promo on Raw last week. You know, I don't know that they were sold. And I don't even know if they're sold now. I don't know. I can't. I'm not in the head of Paul Levesque. But I think they've been evaluating and watching. If I have the pencil, I'm putting this title on Cody. It's not that I can't see what you're saying, Reverend Keith. There is always money in the chase. There is, you know, as of all people, Charlotte talked about, you know, this business was built on Rhodes chasing the title and Flair holding it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're in a stage now where Rhodes is chasing the title. Only Reigns is holding it. Okay. Not saying Reigns is Ric Flair, but it's a similar situation. At some point in time, the good guys do have to win. Okay, at some point, you know, the Empire, right, like Return of the Jedi, you know, the Empire does have to crumble, you know, and the Rebellion does have to win at some point, you know. Otherwise, you're just going to take people on these rides, and they're not going to get a payoff, and they're just going to give up. They're just going to be like, you know, what's the point, you know? And it's not that Roman's had the title so long, I'm sick of it. That's not the way I'm thinking. But, you know, it has reached a point where, you know, I'm with Greg. I'm ready to see something new. I'm ready to see something different. Greg, you and I even discussed this a couple of years ago in the run-up to WrestleMania 37. you know, with the potential of Daniel Bryan winning it in the triple threat, you know, because that's why we thought potentially he was added, maybe to give him a one-month sling and then send it back to Roman. And that didn't happen. And the title really has not been in jeopardy since. I mean, nobody thought that Brock was beating him, right? Right? I mean, nobody thought that. Nobody even thought that Drew was winning in Clash at the Castle. Nobody really even thought that Sammy was winning, but Cody could. And at some point, you know, if not now, when? You know, like, you're not paying this off. WrestleMania is such a brand to this company, all right? It's such an important show to this company, and it's a show where they want to have moments. You know, so if you don't do it then, well, then when do you do it? Do you do it at SummerSlam? You know, I mean, yeah, Roman did win it in the summer of 2020, so yeah, it'd be 3 years, you know, okay, you know, maybe there's something there, but how do you get Cody from WrestleMania to SummerSlam? I just don't know how you do it, you know? This is my very, very long-winded way of saying I think it's just time to do it now, and I'm not worried about this company making. They will make plenty of money, okay? I'm not worried about it. They have – guys, they have plenty of stuff for Cody to do. They're setting this thing up with Solo, the You're Not Ready. The Usos are having issues. They got stuff there. You know, you got Bobby Lashley. You got so many things that you could set up coming out of WrestleMania with Cody. And look, Roman probably does go away for a little while. So there's going to be intrigue as to his return. You know, when is Roman coming back? I'm sure they'll tell stories on TV in the Bloodline, like, where's the tribal chief? You know, and there'll be strife with that, and they'll be on edge with that. So there's plenty of stuff that you could do. So, yeah, I'm not delaying. I'm doing this now. I'm taking the plunge, and I'm putting the title on Cody if I'm wielding the WWE pencil.
I still think that a great match for the future, though, before I let you guys go, will be Jey Uso versus Roman, with or without the title. So I think his involvement in this is going to play a role as well, Jey Uso. Because remember, that's how this whole saga began, long before Sami Zayn's involvement in it last summer. It all began with Jey Uso and Roman 2 years ago. So, again, whether Cody wins the title or Roman retains, somewhere down the line, we're going to see Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns, because Jey Uso is the spark plug. He's the one that's not sold on what he's doing. He's only doing this because he's a family man. He really loves Sammy. We know that. So, you know, we'll see. It's going to be some cracks in the Bloodline, whether Roman retains or whether he loses. And I'm just not sold on the Bloodline losing all those belts next weekend, whether it be the tag belts or in Roman. I don't see it. Somebody's going to retain, whether it's the Usos or whether it's Roman. I don't see all three of them men leaving SoFi next Sunday night without belts. That's just my prediction, whether it go either way. But thank you for taking my call, gentlemen, and thank you for listening to my thoughts. You know, we'll see. That's the joy of this thing. We all have a right to opine, and we all can watch the show and just enjoy ourselves. And rest assured, if it's God's will, you will hear me after both nights next weekend, Greg.
Awesome. Well, keep improving, Reverend Keith, and I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on WrestleMania next weekend.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Absolutely.
Have a good one. Take
care. All right, Frank, let's move along to the rest of the unassigned matches. We touched a little bit on the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. You know, there is the thought, like Reverend Keith said, you know, it seems like this match is destined for Owens and Zayn to get their moment and get their victory, and this will be Sami Zayn's moment, I guess, of getting one over on the Bloodline, substituting for his not winning the championship at Elimination Chamber over Roman Reigns. But I think Reverend Keith brings up a good point that it's kind of hard to see Reigns losing the title and the Usos losing the title. I think that would really, you know, I talk about the different view that we would have with Roman Reigns not being champion and what that would look like. And certainly the Usos also not being champion. I mean, that would be a big deal for the Bloodline to not have any titles walking out of both nights of WrestleMania. And think of the mud hole that Roman Reigns would walk the next week on SmackDown. And then there's also the angle of, okay, Reigns isn't champion, but the Usos are. You know, do we see jealousy in Roman Reigns with the Usos holding the championship? Do they try to claim the head of the table because they're champions and Reigns isn't? You know, does that create discord between these two entities? So there are a lot of different ways that we could walk out of WrestleMania in terms of the Bloodline as champions, but it does feel like things should be trending to Zayn and Owens winning here. Frank, what do you think about that?
Yeah, by the way, I don't know what happened, but Skype decided to hang up on you. So I was offline for a few seconds there, but I think I got the main meat of what you're asking. Your points were, you know, the potential of, you know, the entirety of the Bloodline not having titles, you know, the Usos having titles but not Roman, and Roman Roman having the title and no Usos. Is that pretty much the meat of what you said, or did I miss anything? I just want to make sure I answer your question.
Yeah, I saw you drop off, so I kind of vamped a little bit until I saw you come back on. But, you know, to you, what is the more intriguing scenario? I know you were talking about how you wanted to see the Bloodline from a different angle, arguing for Roman Reigns losing the title. I mean, would it be more interesting for you to see the Bloodline without any titles and see how they would react? Or for Reigns to be without his title, but Usos still having their title, and how that would change the dynamic within the Bloodline?
I want Lando Calrissian and whatever that guy was in Return of the Jedi firing the bullet and blowing up the Death Star at Return of the Jedi. I want the Bloodline completely blown up. I think it's time to see them without titles. It's time to see total chaos, and it's time to see, you know, what they would do. You know, I mean, you look at Kevin and say, I think that a big part of this too has been the fans have wanted Kevin and Sammy to get together. All right. They've been around the dance floor in a lot of ways, both apart, fighting each other and together. You know, this is a big moment for them. And, you know, we have to think about this too. Them sticking around in the WWE has been a big, big key. I don't know if people realize that. I mean, these guys were almost on a plane to Jacksonville last year, okay? And they stuck around. And since then, I mean, you look at what Kevin's done since. You know, he got the spot with Stone Cold last year. Sammy got the spot with Johnny Knox. You know what I mean? And that stuff was important. And now they're dropped into the storyline. I mean, I don't think people realize how important their staying in WWE was. So I think this is the point where you pay that off and you reward them and you give them that big win. I mean, to my knowledge, I don't think either one of those guys have gotten that big. I mean, I know Kevin beat Sammy at WrestleMania a few years ago, but I don't think they've really gotten that big moment to my knowledge. I mean, I know Kevin beat Seth Rollins too, but you know, this is a big spot for these two. And yeah, people know the history between these two. So I think you pay it off. And I think, you know, just the way I guess my larger point here is I have a lot of faith in WWE booking right now, more so than I've had in a long time. Okay. And I'll probably get some heat for saying that, but I have more faith in them than I've had in the past. So I have faith if they take all the titles off the Bloodline, I have faith in the way that they could tell stories moving forward. You're seeing tension between Jimmy and Jay. You're seeing, you know, tension between Roman and Jay, you know, that we saw last week. Roman said, I love you. Jay didn't say it back. You know, you bring up the thing with Solo Sikoa, you know, the you're not ready. You know, there's issues there, you know, so there's a lot. And I think I think they have material for everybody moving forward should they take all the titles off of, you know, off of the Bloodline. If they're not doing that, I probably see the Usos losing, but Roman, in other words, if they're keeping a title in the Bloodline, it's probably on Roman. And, you know, he's giving the Usos crap for losing the titles. And then you see infighting between the Usos. So that would be my alternate scenario for that.
Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre for the Intercontinental Championship in a triple threat. This may be a contender for match of the night for whichever night this show ends up on, this match ends up on, I should say. This is one of those rare triple threat matches, Frank, where I'm kind of glad it's a triple threat instead of a singles match, because the number of different things that you could see in this match from this combination of wrestlers, I don't think it's going to be wrestled like a regular triple threat, maybe, where one guy gets thrown outside and two guys wrestle in the middle of the ring. I think there's going to be a lot of three-man chops. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff like that, where they're just bruising each other up for 15, 20 minutes. So, you know, I don't know what your philosophy is on triple threats, but is there a more attractive, I mean, would you rather see Gunther versus Sheamus again? Would you rather see Gunther versus Drew, or is the triple threat the right way to go here?
I'm generally not for triple threats, but you probably don't want, like, let's say you wanted to do Sheamus and Gunther, right? You're probably not having Sheamus beat him, you know, because Gunther has been so protected and he's been on this run. I don't know that you want Sheamus beating him. Although, I mean, Sheamus is a legacy act. I mean, it's not like he's not a respected act, so it wouldn't hurt Gunther. But they probably, my guess in this situation is Gunther's going to retain. So maybe the triple threat is there for Drew to take the pin. I mean, Drew, you know, he hasn't really done much of note as of late. I mean, you know, he had the match with Roman, but that was more location than anything else. So, you know, I think that's pretty much why it's there. As far as what I would prefer, yeah, I mean, I know I'm like contradicting myself, but I would have preferred the one-on-one. But you know what? If you're going to do a triple threat and these are the guys that you're going to do it with, then I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? That, I know that kind of contradicts what I said out of the gate, but I'm fine with it because of, you know, some of the things that you said, some of the work that's going to be done. I mean, it's not going to be your, you know, Drew's out there taking a nap for 5 minutes while Sheamus and Gunther are chopping each other. And then, you know, yeah, Gunther's out there taking a snooze while Drew and Sheamus go at it. Like, I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be hard hitting. I think it's going to be brutal. And, yeah, I think it's going to be something special. You know, they've talked a lot about Sheamus getting that IC belt, you know, and it's kind of funny how you and I, on my first show, covered the night that Drew won the IC title for the first time and Sheamus won the WWE title. So it's kind of funny that we're, you know, revisiting their history again, yeah, you know. Oh, man, can I see a scenario where – what do you – I mean, do you see a scenario – I don't know how much you care about, you know, predictions here as to who's going to win, but could you see a scenario where Sheamus wins this and Drew is there to eat the pin so they don't pin Gunther? You know, is,
yeah,
that just
sure
to get Sheamus,
I think,
that win?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of scenarios in play here. I think what you said, and that's one of the things that makes this match intriguing, maybe more so than even a singles matchup, is, you know, obviously you can see Gunther retaining just because he's been so dominant as champion, and you could still do singles matches again with Sheamus and Drew McIntyre at some point for the championship. You know, I could see Drew winning and it turning Sheamus heel because Drew either stole the match or Drew won the match, and this was Sheamus's, you know, dream to be IC champion or whatever the case may be. And I could see Sheamus paying off that dream. You know, they've talked a lot about that. The announcers have really hammered that home. So having him win either by beating Gunther or, like you said, Drew McIntyre to save that pin on Gunther and give him sort of an out for losing the Intercontinental Championship, still keeping him strong, I think all of those are in play. All of those make sense, and that's part of the reason I like this matchup and I find it intriguing.
Yeah, and let's not forget the possibility of Drew going heel. You know, I mean, it's not my preference. I think Drew works better as a babyface, but, I mean, he's been kind of stale for a while. And, you know, playing into Sheamus's dream, you know, maybe Drew is there to ruin it. You know, maybe Sheamus is onto something. You know, maybe he's onto something with Drew, and Drew is there to kind of ruin it. And, you know, then we get a Sheamus-Drew feud only, you know, with Sheamus in the babyface position. Because I don't think they would spin Sheamus so quickly. I mean, he only turned babyface, what, last year, the end of last year? So you're going to turn him back again? I mean, I guess
well,
really
it seems
matter,
like they've
but...
done that a lot with him.
Yeah, I know, because they were together. Like even during the pandemic, even during the Thunderdome era, they were feuding, then they were together, then they were feuding again. But, I mean, a heel Drew might be a better look. And, again, if Cody is winning this and you want to give him challengers, Drew could be one of those challengers. I mean, they were, you know, they were in the mid-card together, you know, back when Cody was, you know, in his first WWE run. I mean, they were kind of at that level together. So there may be some story to tell there, you know. They might have even been a tag team at one point. So, yeah, just something to think about with Drew.
We talked a little bit about Lesnar versus Omos with Reverend Keith's call. But, you know, Lesnar is a guy with limited dates. I talked about how this one-on-one match does intrigue me a little bit. Is this a wise use of one of Lesnar's limited dates, and does the match intrigue you at all? Maybe not for match quality, but just to see Lesnar and whether or not he can throw around a human the size of Omos.
If you never book this match, I would not have looked for it. The fact that they've booked it, I'm more okay with it than I probably want to be, okay, if that makes any sense. You know, Greg, they've brought Brock in, you know, for his limited dates, as you said, and he's basically lost every time. I mean, when was the last time Brock Lesnar won a match? You know, day one, right, at the beginning of last year? I mean, he's basically been fed to Roman, you know, ever since. So, you know, you got to give Brock a winning situation at some point. You got to give him something to, you know what I mean? You got to give him a match that he can win. And, you know, if you are going to use him as a challenger at some point, he's got to win some matches, right? Otherwise, bringing him back means nothing. You know, like beating him means absolutely nothing. He just loses all the time. So I'm more okay with this than I want to be. I mean, the visual of the two of them, the visual of Brock versus somebody much bigger than him, you know, will be kind of cool to see. I'm expecting zero from the match. Omos has done nothing. I'm pretty much convinced that he's not going to be, you know, anybody of use moving forward. You know, and WWE likes to remind you that they have giants every once in a while, not the New York Giants.
Of course.
But they have these big guys, and, you know, every 6 months they like to tell you that they matter. So, you know, this is the time that they do this. And I know Reverend Keith brought up Lashley getting involved. The only thing I can a scenario I thought about, I don't know if it would take place at WrestleMania, but I wonder if they're maybe quietly still thinking about putting the Hurt Business back together, you know, where, you know, maybe Brock wins, but then Lashley attacks him afterwards and, you know, him and Omos do a double deal on them, you know what I mean? And that's how Omos gets his heat back and you can use him and, you know, him and Lashley and, you know, who are the other two? Benjamin and, the hell's his name, Cedric. You know, maybe you put them together the night after Raw, you know, and you do something there. That's just one of the scenarios I thought about. I don't know if that's a possibility or something they're still considering, but, you know, just something to consider there. But, yeah, I'm like I said, I'm fine with it. You know, am I excited and looking forward to it? No, but I don't think it's going to be as bad. It'll be kept short and harmless. And look, if you're not going to have Brock in a major storyline, give him a winnable situation. And this is very winnable for him.
All right, let's go back to the phones. The 814 area code. It is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland. Ryan, welcome to Wrestling Night in America tonight. What's the first of your three-pack of questions for us?
My first question is on Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. Could you possibly see this feud going till WrestleMania 40, possibly it'd be like a hair versus mask or hair versus career match to end this, or do you think they'll make it a pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't see. I think that would be interesting. Some sort of hair versus mask match. You know, I kind of wish that, you know, we talked about this being kind of a long, drawn out feud. I kind of wish that they had announced the match ahead of time. And who knows? You know, we have a week of prep before, so, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a match you want to announce a stipulation for a week in advance, but it's always a possibility. That being said, I just find it hard to believe that you could stretch the feud out that long, and maybe they don't. Maybe they don't stretch it out that long. Maybe they go their separate ways after WrestleMania this year and kind of reconnect next year to do that kind of match. But, yeah, it's interesting to think about. Frank, what do you think about that?
I mean, I don't see, quote, the feud being stretched out to WrestleMania next year, because I just don't think – I don't think we're seeing a lot of Ray moving forward. But on that point, you know, if he's not going to be around as much, you know, you could kind of, like, space it out where they do, like – they do like vignettes that they did, you know, over Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff like that. I mean, they could, you know, they could do that and lead to something a little bit bigger next year, where, let's just say, you know, okay, you know, Ray wants to tone his dates down, you know, which I think is what's going on here. And then, you know, come WrestleMania next year, all right, you know what? I'm done. All right. I'm calling it quits. Give me one more match with my son, and I'll put my career on the line. I mean, I could see that, you know, I could see them, but I don't see like a feud going on, you know, on a week to week basis to next year. And, you know, that gets into something too, right? I'm very curious to see Dominic away from his dad. I mean, I know that they did that. They separated them. They put Ray on SmackDown and Dominic on Raw. But I mean, it's still like you knew the two were connected. So, you know, once this is done, I'm really curious to see what Dominic does, how his interplay is with other characters that are not his father. That's going to be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan, back to you for your second question for us.
Second question I have is on Trish Stratus. I heard a rumor that she may be turning heel. Do you think that's really going to work, considering that she's a legend and she's been through some hardships and she had a major surgery last year? And do you think the fans really want to do her over, say, like, do you think they really want to cheer Becky Lynch, you know, say if she would feud with her over her? You think that's a bad idea? Because I know Edge had issues, you know, getting heel heat, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that's why they turned him back.
Yeah, I had the same thought when I read that rumor of Stratus going heel. I'm like, why, first of all, if you're Trish, why do you want to do that? Like, you know, I don't understand. Usually the legends want to come back and, you know, bask in the adulation of the fans for a little while. And I don't necessarily think it would work. Like, there's better ways to get to a proposed Trish-Becky match than turning Trish outright heel and having her align with Damage Control or however they're going to do it. I just don't see that one taking. Like, I just don't see, you know, there's a reason why Trish has been a babyface for a lot of her career is because she's kind of a natural in that role. Frank, what do you think about the potential of a Trish Stratus heel turn? Yay or nay?
Here's where my sarcastic humor comes in. I heard a rumor that people cared about Trish Stratus. I mean, has anybody watched the reactions for her? I mean, nobody cares. They don't react to her the way they used to. I mean, and you know, she used to get better reactions back in the day, not like huge pops, but she got, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't see people caring about her. So to do a heel turn, I'm thinking about her first run as a heel back after WrestleMania 20, and it just never took, you know? And I mean, it doesn't. I'll have to think about that a little more, Ryan, but My initial answer is I don't see. I mean, if you want to do a match with Becky and Trish at some point, I mean, just do the match. You know, Trish doesn't have to turn heel. I mean, she could show up and act, you know, arrogant and act heelish, but she doesn't have to, quote, turn heel. You know, so, yeah, no, I'm not in favor of that.
And finally, Ryan, your third question for us tonight.
Final question's on Roxanne Perez. They've been saying this is a mystery why she collapsed after her match. I guess that's what she's saying on Twitter. Is this inspired by, I know like last year there were a lot of athletes that just collapsed, like soccer players overseas. Was that inspired by that current event, or do you think there was something else that inspired that?
No, the consensus seems to be Shawn Michaels' collapse against Owen Hart on Raw several years ago when Shawn was active was the inspiration for it, especially considering Shawn Michaels is head of creative, and especially considering they've already repeated one of Shawn's most popular angles recently with Marty Jannetty in the barbershop window, and they recreated it with Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. So I don't think it has anything to do with that other thing. And seems like you agree, Frank.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think Shawn, it seems like Shawn likes to repeat storylines that he's been involved with, and that clearly was the...
Which admittedly is kind of cool. I kind of like spotting, it's like the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing meme, like when you see something like that, it's like, oh, I saw that before, I've seen that before, you know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I'm just curious with Roxanne, as I'm looking at the... NXT card here. So for the, are they doing a match? Okay, for the women's championship. So did they strip the title from Roxanne?
Kind of yes and no. I think it's really going to depend on if she can make it back. And I know, you know, they talked about it really, they did that angle because there is apparently something preventing Roxanne from being active. But they don't know when that is going to, when she's going to be back. So I think there might be leaving the door open possibility that she gets cleared in time for that. And if not, they'll just strip her of it. And the match at, Stand and Deliver will be for the women's title.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I guess they're just, cause I'm reading here. I'm just Wikipedia for what Wikipedia is worth. You know, her health is still in question. I don't know if that's kayfabe or not. But, yeah, like what I'm thinking is I'm just wondering if she's a call-up, if she's an imminent call-up to the main roster. Because, I mean, they need – we're gonna get to these women's title matches. The damn cupboard is bare, man. I mean, they got nobody, you know, to shuffle these – you know, to give to these champions coming out of WrestleMania. So I just wonder if she's got a ticket to the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, she would be at the top of the list, speculation-wise, of people who would be called up after WrestleMania, if, in fact, WWE does the traditional post-WrestleMania call-ups of NXT talent. Ryan, thank you for the phone call, as always, this evening.
Well, I do think the Shawn Michaels event was inspired by, like, the military beating him outside the bar and then getting kicked in the head by Owen Hart.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with Roxanne, really. I know she took some Liz head from if she was wrestling, but, you know, it wasn't a scream and obvious.
We had talked about it earlier on this show a couple weeks ago, and the argument was made that she was, you know, pushing herself so hard and in training, knowing that she needed to be in top shape against Miko Satomura, that may have played a part as well.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate the call, Ryan.
Taking the call.
Of course. I've got several more people on hold and several more matches to get to, so let's try to run through the phone calls here. 615, it is Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, good to have you back here on Wrestling Night in America.
Greg, this is the night I had to get on, not only to talk to you, but to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Frank Pettiani. Man, Frank, I told you, well, I messaged, you know, I get to message Frank quite a bit and, you know, keep up with how he's doing. I told him, I said, initially I didn't think I was going to be able to get on because I had some stuff going on, but I got home early and Frank's, I consider him a friend and Greg, you're a friend, but Frank's a friend as well. Frank, it's good to talk to both of you, man. How you guys doing?
I appreciate that, Sean. I appreciate chatting with you as well over messages. Always good to talk. I know we were talking during, you know, football season too. So, yeah, I appreciate that. I am really happy that you got on tonight. Looking forward to talking to you.
Yeah. So I wanted to just get into the Roman, you know, Cody, like, you know, how we think it's going to go. just kind of my two cents, because we already kind of got into it in depth, but I don't want to go too far, but I want to give my two cents on it. It's really intriguing. And Reverend Keith, it's always good to hear from you, man, too, and I want to kind of go off what he was saying. They're into Cody. We've seen the fans right now are into Cody's journey. I think the fans are 95% behind him. We know there's people that do not like Cody for different reasons, and I think some of those reasons are very valid. I think Cody does things to hurt himself in certain ways. But I think in the last year, since he returned at WrestleMania last year, I think he has told a great story. I think the fans are behind him. I think he's done everything the right way. Of course, the injury didn't hurt either, and the match was great. He did great in the match with a torn pec, which is incredible in its own right. I think Cody has been able to tell a good story, and I think I'm behind him, and I think he talked about the last couple of weeks. I think he's talked about winning it for himself. Yeah, I mean, he wants to win it for his dad, of course, and that's the fun story behind it. But Cody wants to win. He's proved, and I think he's shown that he can go against different people and have good matches with different people. We know Cody's going to have a great match, and I think the match is going to be good. The issue I have only with Cody, if he were to win, because I think it's good both ways. I think if Roman wins, you tell a good story with the bloodline, you kind of see where they go, what challengers, they have a lot of good baby faces that you can do. Like if you bring Orton back as a baby face, which I don't know if they will, because I think Orton's always been a better heel, but if they do bring him back face, I think he can have a good match with Reigns. I think the fans are going to love it. They're going to be behind it. With Cody, if he does win, and I kind of lean that direction, I think they probably should, but there's not a lot of heels, like you said, that can go after him right now. There's not a lot of people they've lined up to face him, unless you, like you said, turn Drew heel, which, you know, like you were saying, Frank, I don't love it, but if they have to, I'm fine with it, because they need heels to go after Cody, if that's the direction they go. So I just wanted to say, I think the fans are most likely, everything I've seen on social media and in arenas, the fans love Cody. They want to see Cody win the title. They want to see him get this. And I'd be totally fine with it. So what do you guys think about what I said there? Do you think the fans are behind Cody? And do you think it's kind of a disillusion that a lot of fans are like 50-50? I think it's 95-5 that the fans want Cody to win this belt.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the fans are certainly more behind him at this point than I thought they might be. Just because of the whole Sami Zayn situation and how Sami caught on, and you know whether we'd have another Daniel Bryan situation where fans would accept nothing less than him being champion. And I thought there was a possibility that could happen with Cody Rhodes. And I think they've booked it smartly enough to have Cody really on the Sami Zayn train, almost as the conductor at some points. So it's not like they were asking the fans to choose between these two. You could like them both and go on their separate journeys with them. So I think that's been smart. In terms of who faces Cody when he wins, you could talk about building up heels. You could talk about, you know, who's available. I mean, it's going to be Roman Reigns. You know, there's no way that Reigns loses the title and he's not immediately right back in the title chase. I think, you know, even if you don't have the automatic rematch clause that you used to, he's certainly earned the opportunity at a rematch, whether it's at Backlash or wherever it might be. So you're talking, okay, Cody's got to get by that. And I'm not sure really that Cody even wins that rematch. You know, I could totally see Reigns winning it back pretty quickly. So you may not need any opponents for Cody Rhodes, you know, heel opponents for him.
Right,
but certainly you've got some buffer time between WrestleMania. I mean, you don't have to come out of WrestleMania with a heel who is going to be ready to face Cody Rhodes the next night on Raw. Like, I don't think we're at that point, just because Roman is still going to be looming over that title picture. So I think more than likely you'd need to find a heel, you know, provided Rhodes wins the rematch or at least retains the title after the rematch. You know, you're talking, you know, May, June time period where you need a heel, and that's plenty of time to build someone up, you know, in the meantime. So, Frank, what do you think about the points that Sean made there?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the fans, I think they are behind Cody. I'm curious, though, if, like, and I'm going to try to make sense out of this. They love Cody. Are they going to be happy with him winning? Like, in other words, Are they pushing for him to win the title, or are they cheering him on, but they're going to be okay if he loses? You know, like I don't know with this fan base anymore. I feel like it's the compliant fan base. I feel like it's the obedient fan base now. I feel like they're just happy to go along. And, you know, if Cody doesn't win, oh, well, okay, you know, that's great. You know, we'll just move on to the next thing. Or do they really want him to win? You know, I don't know. You know, there's a difference between being behind somebody and being behind somebody and pushing for them to win. Like, everybody was behind Sammy, but nobody was upset when he lost because they knew he was going to lose anyway, so it didn't matter. You know, so is Cody that guy that they're pushing for? I mean, I think at some point you've got to pay off. If the fans are invested in Cody, if this is the guy that they want to see beat Reigns, then I think you got to pay it off. You know, because how many times are you going to let the fans down? And they're just not going to get on board anymore. You know, they're just not going to care. And you don't want that. So you do want to, you know, you do want a return on your investment. You do want your fans to get some kind of return. So I think that's why you do the title change here. As far as challengers, I don't think Roman would get a rematch right away because I think he would go away for a little bit. And I think that would create some mystique. And I think that would create some intrigue in the bloodline. You know, they're setting something up with Solo Sikoa, you know, the whole you're not ready thing, you know.
If
they turn, you know, I mean, there's a feud with Gunther at some point. I mean, I'm sure they'll revisit their story in the Royal Rumble where the two of them were the final two. So, you know, that's looming at some point. If you put the Hurt Business back together or you just turn Bobby Lashley heel, then you could have a heel Bobby Lashley as a challenger. So you've got options. If you split the Usos, Jey Uso could be a challenger, you know. So I think there are – Finn Balor is another one. I talked about Finn Balor earlier on. So you have challengers, you know, and we've seen through the years – I don't ever remember worrying about if a babyface is going to win a title. I don't ever remember worrying about challenges moving forward. Like, I just always feel like the WWE figures it out. And sometimes when they have less, they figure it out even better. I mean, go watch 1998 WWF. You know, I mean, they worked with nothing. I mean, they're running Kane as a WWF champion at that point, and people ate it up. So yeah, I think they're going to be fine if Cody wins the title.
All right, Sean, your second question or comment for us.
Yeah, real quick, I was just going to say about that too was Reigns, no matter if Reigns wins the title or not, he is such a freaking big star that they're going to tell a great story with him whether he has it or not. He doesn't have to have it to tell a great story with him. They just don't. And so people say Reigns has to win the title. I just don't agree with that. I think they're going to tell a great story whether he wins it or he doesn't. So that's all I want to say. The second thing was going back to the women because I know we were going to talk about that at some point. I wanted to bring that up because especially after SmackDown Friday, at that awful Starlet promo, it was bad. And granted, the What Chants were in there, and I said on Friday, and Frank, you heard what I thought about the What Chants. I can't stand them. I hate them. I love Stone Cold. He's my favorite wrestler of all time, but that was fun when he did it, but after that, it was over. It stopped. When he was gone, that's it. They should have been done. And they kept it going every show. They got to get into what part of the promo. And, yes, I agreed with Zach. Yeah, I think Charlotte has to be able to get away from, you know, kind of spew off from that. But that promo ended up going nowhere. And I was into the Charlotte – when Rhea went against Charlotte, I was like, okay, that's cool. They have a backstory to build on. There's something they can really do. Even though – they're in different roles than I think they're better at, I think they could still tell a great story. And they kind of got with it the Friday before on SmackDown, but last week just I was like, oh, man. I almost thought, man, they should have gone to Rhea and Bianca. But I still think they're going to have a great match. Is it a sure thing Rhea's going to win this, which I think she should? What did you think of the promo, and where do you think they're going? Did you think ultimately this was a bad decision to have this match, and what do you think is going to happen in the match?
Yeah, I didn't like the promo either, and as much as I don't like the What Chants, I think it's indicative of the fans not really being invested in the promo itself or the story. So I think it can tell you something, as annoying as they are. And I absolutely don't think Rhea Ripley is a lock to win. I think any time Charlotte Flair is in a match, she's almost got to be the favorite. You know, no matter how obvious it should seem that Charlotte should lose, you know, we've seen too many times where Charlotte ends up winning. In fact, against Rhea Ripley before, too. So, I mean, this is a perfect example of, you know, it does seem like Rhea should win, but that hasn't stopped WWE from putting Charlotte over anyway before. Frank, what do you think?
So, if this match is on night two and you see the guy with the sign, if Charlotte wins, we riot, that's me, okay? Because there is no way on God's green earth that Charlotte Flair, that Ashley Flair, should defeat Demi Bennett in this match whatsoever, okay? I mean, it was a terrible decision to do it the first time, but I forgave it because, you know, oh, this is a long-term story and this will pay off. Don't worry, don't worry. Okay. And I bought that line of crap, and they still never paid it off because they feuded a year later and Rhea never got a win back. So, I mean, we're in a different place now because the characters are in different places. Obviously, Rhea, you know, is involved with the Judgment Day, and, you know, Charlotte is this great baby face, you know, and please. That's a whole nother topic, her being a baby face. But you got to have Rhea win this match. I don't – if they put her in just to feed her to Charlotte, then I don't know what the hell WWE is doing. I really don't, because I just don't see a scenario where, you know, Charlotte retains. Now, you know, like Greg said, it's not a lock. I mean, nothing is ever a lock. But this should be – as much of a lock as anything else on this card, in my opinion.
And Sean, back to you for your final question or comment for us tonight.
Well, Frank, man, that's what I love about you, man. I love your passion, dude. I love it. I absolutely love it. That's why I love when you call in here, man, because I feed off your passion because I want to be as passionate as you do, and that's great. The last thing I want to talk about, and I'll get off to you. Yeah, I know, man. We got to speak our truth, man. And going back to, I wanted to bring up, because I know you haven't talked about this shit either, and it kind of leads you into this too, but the stuff with Logan and Seth, like, I think I liked it kind of from the beginning, but I've liked it more since they've kind of told, you know, whatever little bit they've told. I mean, Logan's in the place he needs to be in is a heel that people want to see get his ass kicked. I mean, that's what they want to see, and I think he's finally in the role where he can do that now. And Seth, I mean, even though I don't kind of necessarily don't love the character he's got right now, it's just kind of, you know, the laugh kind of gets annoying at times, and he does some stuff. You're just like, all right, I wish Seth could get a little more serious. But I like what they've done so far. I just wanted to find out from you guys, again, is this a foregone conclusion? I think Seth just absolutely has to win. I think it's dumb if he doesn't, because he has lost just so much at this point that losing to Logan Paul just kind of gets rid of all credibility he has, and then, like, where does he go from there? So is it just that crazy that, you know, Seth obviously just has to win? What have you thought of the feud kind of so far? And I think they're going to have a great match. So I wanted to hear you guys thought about that. Frank, man, I was praying for you today, man. I really, truly mean that. I am. I hope, you know, things are going well. And, Greg, the XFL is actually off to a good start, man. I'm actually kind of liking it more than I thought I would. So that's been kind of cool. And I appreciate all you guys do for the torch, and I appreciate you guys taking my call, as always.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate the phone call. I think Seth versus Logan Paul has had its moments. There really isn't a whole lot to the feud. I know The Miz has been involved. I wouldn't be surprised to see him involved in the match at WrestleMania. I just think with this Seth Rollins character, like, this is not a main event character. Like, this is not really... I don't know. He can get serious because we've seen him get serious. But, you know, does Seth Rollins absolutely have to win?
Nope.
I don't think so. Like, I think this is a guy who can kind of shake it off the next night. And so I don't really read a lot into the finish of this match. I could think it could really go either way and really not affect anyone, because Logan's going to go off and, you know, he'll be back at SummerSlam or whatever. And Seth Rollins is going to move on to whatever he's going to move on to, win or loss. So I'm not sure the finish really is even all that important in this match, Frank.
I am going to take a beating for this, but I don't really care. I like Logan Paul. I really do. I like what he brings to the table. He gets it. All right. And WWE has been smart to frame him as a heel. I know they were trying the babyface thing with him, and it worked like crap. They got him in the right spot, and he draws heat. He really does, you know? I mean, are his promos, you know, 100% polished? No. I mean, but for his experience level, he's fine, and he's really gotten it in the ring. I mean, I don't think there's any – I don't think I'm breaking any news when I say that. Is it going to sound crazy? I have Logan Paul win this. I really do, you know, because number one, I don't care about Seth Rollins at this point. I really don't. You know, I mean, to your point, I mean, if they want to use him as, you know, like a challenger at some point, you know, if, well, at this point he's a babyface. So let's say Cody wins this. I don't think they're going to revisit their feud. But if there's a heel champion down the line, that's going to be far down the line. They can just heat Seth Rollins up whenever they want. So, but until then, yeah, I have Logan Paul win this because, again, you keep bringing these guys in, you keep bringing them in to lose, then beating them means absolutely nothing, you know? And if there's anybody that can eat a loss, it's Seth Rollins. So I have Logan Paul win this. I mean, you probably, they're going to end up doing shenanigans, you know, because it's the part-time guy who's not a full-time wrestler beating a full-time wrestler. So if they do shenanigans, I could forgive it. But, yeah, I have Logan Paul win this.
All right, we'll talk about the last three matches of WrestleMania that we haven't talked about yet. We'll skip over the ones that we've talked about answering phone calls. I think we've talked at length about those. Bianca Belair versus Asuka, Raw Women's title, has not come up yet. You know, I thought we were kind of going to be getting a different Asuka with her, you know, performances as of late, going without the makeup a couple times, and it felt like we were going to get a twist on the Asuka character. And really all we've gotten is her spewing goo. That's the feud, basically, like to scare Bianca Belair. And I think that can be, you know, you can use scare tactics to try to get inside the head of a champion to as a small part of the feud. But this one feels like it's completely based on that, and it's really doesn't have much else going for it. I know they've teamed a couple times. I just don't feel like the title is in as much jeopardy as it should feel like with someone the caliber of Asuka as the challenger.
So I was thinking about this a lot, what I was going to say about this, you know, before we were doing the show. If this match was taking place in, like, New Japan, right, we wouldn't care about the bill. We wouldn't care about promos. Because that's not what they do over there, right? I mean, we just basically, when you watch New Japan, you just watch the matches, you know? And at the end, you know, after a match, you know, the next challenger might come out and say something, and that's how you know that that's the next program. But we never really talk about, oh, that promo with Okada or that promo with Tanahashi or whatever. We just watch the matches. In American wrestling, it's so important to have, you know, character development. It's so important to have promos, backstage segments, and what have you. And if we don't get that, we're not really looking forward to the match, right? I mean, I think that that's an important part of building up to matches. So, I mean, I think that these two are going to have a good match, honestly. I mean, I haven't really cared. I probably should care, but I haven't really cared about the build because I just didn't think there was going to be much of one. I mean, we've seen builds with Asuka before. She's pretty limited with her language, you know, and they've resorted to, you know, comedy and stuff like that. Not that what they're doing is any better. I mean, her spitting out blue goo is just like, come on, man. Like, what is that? You know, like, I do like the fact that Asuka showed a little bit more of the heel side going after Bianca last week after their match. I could have done without the reluctant partners teaming up, but that's just what WWE does, so whatever. I'll still criticize it, but, you know, I'll get over it at the same time. As far as – I know I pontificated. What was your specific question about this match? Because I went off on a whole thing and I forgot the specific point that you wanted me to address between these two. I'm sorry, Greg.
It's not a problem. I don't really remember it either. I felt like just that my point was that Asuka didn't feel like the kind of credible challenger, or the title didn't feel as much in jeopardy as it should feel with someone like Asuka opposing Bianca.
That's it. Okay. No, I remember you saying that now. Now, it's really not. It's not. This is not a match where I'm saying Asuka's got to win, and it's not a match where I'm saying Bianca's got to win. Like, that's how cold Bianca's gotten now. Like, I don't know how you feel, but Bianca's gotten ice cold in the last few months. I don't know if that's her and her character presentation or just the challengers that they've given her. I mean, she's worked Alexa Bliss, and who cared about that? I don't have a slam dunk result for this. I mean, if Bianca won, I'd be fine. If Asuka won, I'd be fine. I'm a little disappointed that they haven't really done any more development with Asuka outside of just reframing her and giving her a different look and her spitting out blue Kool-Aid. I mean, they haven't really built on it. So, it's really a toss-up between those two.
We've got Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. We did talk a little bit about this with Sean, but, you know, Rhea is, I mean, character-wise, it's just Rhea is so much more interesting, and her dynamic with Dominic and her place in the Judgment Day is just so much more interesting at this point than anything that Charlotte Flair is doing. And so I think that's part of the reason you hope Rhea Ripley wins. And, you know, and I hate to say it because Charlotte just came back. I mean, she's just recently back, hasn't really had a major one-on-one match, I don't think, on this level of a pay-per-view. And it just feels like it's the same old Charlotte Flair. And, you know, I think it'll be a really good match stylistically. I think they match up pretty well. And I do hope Rhea wins. But, you know, I don't think I'm breaking any news, Frank, here to say that Rhea feels like the much more interesting character at this point.
Oh my God. No, I'm just kidding. no, but now somebody's got to explain to me what in the world they're doing. I mean, maybe they want Rhea to go babyface. I don't know. You know, maybe they're anticipating the crowd reaction at WrestleMania. Because if the way they've presented Rhea, having Bayley come out and Damage Control interrupt the promo last week, and then having Charlotte kind of turn on the fans, you know, on Friday night, it just made me wonder what they were going for. Now, you know, we still got a Raw and we still got a SmackDown to go, so we'll see what they do. But I'm really curious to see. I mean, you know, Rhea turning babyface with the Judgment Day. I mean, so much of that faction has been the interplay between her and Dominic. So, you know, it's strange all around. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what their plans are. But given what we saw last week, I'm really interested to see the build this week and what happens at WrestleMania between those two.
And finally, Trish Stratus, Lita, and Becky Lynch against Damage Control. This is kind of – this is not one I would have predicted on my WrestleMania bingo card in January when I wrote my column, and I'm actually going to be – as soon as I get done here, I'm going to actually be writing my column for the next Torch newsletter, looking back at my post-Royal Rumble WrestleMania card predictions. And this one I did not have, you know. I know that WWE likes to use legends in these roles. They've got Trish, they've got Lita, Bayley and Damage Control have been positioned for, you know, since their return last year as something worth investing in. It just feels like a lot of spare parts, unfortunately. And I'm not really, you know, Becky and Lita winning the tag titles felt like it came out of nowhere. And so the whole thing, it just feels like a bunch of parts being, you know, speaking of your IKEA adventures, Frank, it just feels like a bunch of parts being put together in a not so useful way.
Although the IKEA instructions are actually easier than you realize. Like, I actually follow them a lot better than I follow most pieces of furniture I've put together over the last 12 years. And God knows with three kids, I've put together a lot. But anyway, I digress. And I actually have your article up. I'm going to go through it later. It's interesting, some of the things that you were you were talking. You actually predicted Charlotte as a tempting direction for Rhea Ripley. So just for whatever that's worth. Yeah, as far as this, I mean, I wouldn't have had this either, but logistically, it's fine. It's not anything that I'm really, like, I'm just not excited about Trish and Lita being back. You know, I just am not. Like, it doesn't do anything for me personally. You know, it's, I mean, is anybody going to address the feud that Becky and Lita had last year, by the way? Like, they just swept that under the rug. Everything is fine with that, you know? Like, they just
water
went,
under
the
bridge, I'm sure.
Water under the bridge, yeah, sure, I guess. But, I mean, if you're going to do something like this, if Becky is not going to be involved in any title picture, you know, they're at least – what this tells me is that she at least still matters, and this is kind of the best of – kind of the best that they could do right now. I mean, instead of just giving her some, you know, meaningless singles match, I mean, God knows we've seen her versus Bayley enough on television. So pairing her with Legends, you know, against Damage Control is, it's fine. That's all that it really is. I have no real grand thoughts on it other than, you know, it's perfectly acceptable.
All right, that is WrestleMania. Just a reminder that next Saturday and Sunday, both nights will be going on the air with Wrestling Night America after WrestleMania goes off the air, taking your phone calls and emails, your thoughts on the biggest show of the year for WWE. We have three more phone calls to get through, so let's do that now. DJ from Miami is up first. DJ, welcome to the show. What's on your mind first for us tonight?
Hey, guys. I want to talk about the booking. I'm just dumbfounded what's going on with the Dominic thing. With the Rhea and with the Becky Bayley thing, like, that was, I don't know what they're doing. Like, I guess we can start with the Bayley thing. Like, that was so weird. It was like water and, you know, oil. Like, they didn't mismatch. I don't understand. Bayley messed up in some moves. It was two heels against two heels. They were the two biggest heels, you know. I'm just so confused what they're doing. And then the Dominic thing, it was just so fake. I don't know what they're doing. Like, they could have did something great. I just don't know why Triple H is signing off on this, or who's writing this, or are they doing this more for kids? I don't know, but they're losing a lot of great storylines that, you know, I'm very confused on, that they could really run on, and I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, the Bayley stuff, she's lost a lot of steam. You know, I think Damage Control should have been the opportunity for her to be like an alpha leader of a group, and I'm not sure that it's really played out that way as intended. Since her return from injury, I just don't think she's been the same as a character or in the ring. I mean, you got to remember, she was someone who carried a good portion of the empty arena era of WWE. I mean, she was one of the most entertaining acts during that time. And the Dominic stuff, you know, anytime you get a family involved that's not trained actors and not trained to be a part of WWE, I mean, you do run the risk of having it fall on its face. But I think the crowd reaction told you that they were a little more forgiving of maybe the poor acting or whatever it was, DJ, that felt fake to you there. I don't get the sense that it really hampered that part of the story, especially since it was the part of the story that fans had been really breathlessly waiting for, which was Rey Mysterio accepting, finally, his son's challenge for a match at WrestleMania. So, Frank, just a little bit about, you know, we just talked about the Damage Control stuff, but if you have anything else to add about that, or, you know, the Dominic stuff specifically from Friday night.
Nah, nothing to really add with the Damage Control thing. I'm pretty much, you know, with you, and you know, I had my thoughts about that. I mean, it was a little strange to have them come out and confront Ripley, but, you know, again, we got another week, so we'll see what happens with that. You know, as far as the Rey Dominic stuff, I mean, I don't know what better – I don't know what could have been done better. I mean, I, you know, to your point, judging by the fan reaction – you know, obviously they did something right, and that's usually your bellwether. So I think it was perfectly fine. You know, when you get people that, you know, again, aren't trained wrestlers or trained actors, it's not going to be perfect. But you know what? That's okay. It's okay for things to look natural, you know, like a son telling his mother to shut up and his father coming over and decking him is a story that you can believe. And I said that earlier. So, yeah, I was fine with it. And, you know, I'm really intrigued to see, you know, to see their match.
All right, DJ, your second question or comment for us.
Second thing, going into the Cody Rhodes thing, he was telling this guy he wasn't ready, all this stuff, but then he goes to fight this guy who's green, and they went to two breaks. I thought for sure Cody was going to do boom, boom, boom. Nope. Fought. I'm like, what, dude, the guy's getting the better of Cody. I don't understand. But this guy, then he's telling this guy he's not ready. I don't get it. Like, Cody should be boom, 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 ready for Roman. Like, I don't know if this is his style going into this, because going into the champion, he needs to get a style that, you know, he can't, you know what I mean? Like, what he was doing the other night was not the Cody Rhodes I remember, you know. So I don't know. What do you guys think that, like, he was telling this guy, but then he was, it couldn't do it with this guy. It was just weird.
So, to fill in some of the blanks, Ludwig Kaiser versus Cody Rhodes from SmackDown on Friday, Cody telling Solo Sikoa that he wasn't ready. I think those are different things. But I also get the point, Frank, that, you know, Cody Rhodes is just over a week away from facing the most dominant champion perhaps in WWE history, and he's having trouble putting away a tag team wrestler, second in command to Gunther. Did you have a problem with that, or do you agree with DJ that Cody should have looked a little more intimidating or threatening to Roman's title by putting Kaiser away more quickly?
I did get to a point Friday watching that match saying, okay, they got to put this bonehead away because, you know, Kaiser's not a guy that's been protected. You know, and he's not an important act. So, you know, I thought that Cody should have wasted him in about, you know, 5 minutes, if that, you know. But they do have, and again, I want to credit Brandon and Zach for talking about this on Friday night. You know, they do have television to fill, you know. And, you know, do you want that to go 5 minutes, and do you want the tag match with Shotzi and Natty against, I forgot who they faced, who cares? Do you want that going 5 minutes longer? I mean, I'll take Cody on television for 15, 20 minutes over that. So, you know, there could have been a you know, logistical issue with it. At the end of the day, it's not a big deal. Nobody's going to remember it. Nobody's going to even think about it, you know, especially if Cody wins the title. And even if he doesn't win the title, nobody's going to point to, oh, he had a 15-minute match with Ludwig Kaiser, you know, because honestly, people probably could even forget SmackDown by tomorrow. I mean, there's just so much you know what I mean? There's just so much television. So it's not – I get the point. I don't want to dismiss the point, DJ, but it's not that big a deal.
I remember people on social media getting up in arms about Kenny Omega a couple years ago, wrestling, you know, 10 minutes with, I think, somebody from the Dark Order or something like that. And people were aghast. Yeah, people were aghast that Kenny would dare take so long or have such a competitive match with someone so far below him on the totem pole. And how much did that damage Kenny Omega? Nothing at all. I mean, so I also think we kind of overrate the idea that, you know, by going even Steven or, you know, by going 10 minutes with someone lesser than, that it does any sort of damage in the eyes of fans. I just think that's more myth than fact at this point, too. DJ, back to you for your final question or comment for us.
Final question is Tony Khan. I don't know what they're doing, but Saturday failed. But I don't even know what he's doing in booking. Like, it's just like, they were doing something good and they did a swerve. I don't know. I'm so confused. Some of these people and some of the stuff they're doing, like all of a sudden they're pushing QT and before they were, I don't know what they're doing. They had something else going on and they swerved of Keith. I'm just, I don't know what Tony Khan's doing. Like, at the end of the day, do you think that now WrestleMania is happening? Do you think that he's going to do something crazy on Wednesday? Where is this booking really going? Because, like, the pool, the black pool, whatever, that's dead. I don't know what's going on. Like, it's never going to end, like, what's going on with him. So, and they won't hire real bookers.
I guess I don't think they're going to do anything big on Wednesday to, you know, I don't know, steal the attention from WrestleMania. As far as not knowing what Tony Khan is doing, I guess that's the fun of wrestling, is just, you know, not knowing what's going to happen next and not know, sometimes thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. And then hopefully, you know, a few weeks or a month down the line, you go, oh, that's why they did that. So hopefully that's what they do. QT Marshall doing the QTV stuff, I think it's kind of weirdly entertaining so far, so I don't hate it. I mean, it's not, you know, QT Marshall is not challenging for any kind of major title, so, I mean, it's not like he's punching above his weight or anything like that. But, you know, any thoughts on, generally speaking, AEW here, Frank, on our WrestleMania preview show?
Yeah, I mean, I saw Dynamite last week. I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch Rampage, and quite frankly, I've been skipping a lot of Rampages lately. I mean, it hasn't been really must watch. But, you know, in general, I think you can question a lot of what Tony Khan has done lately. You know, but I think, I mean, we could point to any time period, both in AEW and WWE, and do that. You know, I mean, there's going to be some good, there's going to be some bad. You know, I mean, yeah, the QTV stuff is dumb. You know, you see guys kind of shuttling in and out. You know, I know I was talking to a VIP member today, you know, about Ricky Starks beating Jericho, and now he's getting, you know, Juice Robinson, and I think we're getting that on Wednesday, which, yay, or no, next Wednesday, and at UBS, which I'll be in attendance for. So, you know, we'll get that match. And I think with something like that, not to get too specific, but, you know, that's just a way of keeping him busy. But, yeah, I mean, you could question things, but, you know, I don't want to get too crazy since we're, you know, in a WrestleMania frame of mind tonight, Greg.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Frank, and thank you for the phone call, DJ. Look forward to hearing from you again soon. All right, we go now to the 623 area code. This is Brian from Phoenix, Arizona, 32-year Torch subscriber. Brian, welcome to Wrestling Night in America tonight.
Hey, Greg. Hey, Frank. Hopefully you both have a really good night. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Brian. Good to talk to you, man.
I was going to say, Frank, I think this is the first time you and I have actually talked.
No, we've spoken before.
Really?
We spoke about, oh, geez, it was about 3 years ago, right when they switched over to the Thunderdome. So we have spoken before.
Okay.
And
your memory, Frank, is amazing. I don't know how you could, like, when you say, oh, you know, Greg, we talked about this before on such and such, I'm like, dude, I can't even remember what I talked about last week. So I applaud your memory for this kind of stuff.
I remember things, and then I forget. I forget things that I shouldn't forget, and I remember absolutely, like, trivial stuff that, how do you remember that, you know? Like, oh,
uh-huh.
My God. But no, we have spoken before, Brian. In fact, I was out your way not too long ago, out in Phoenix. One of these days when I'm out there, we got to get together, you know?
Just give me a good note, and I will make it happen. I'll travel out. I know you said you normally hang out, or you hang out. You're normally billeted or hoteled in Scottsdale. I can travel out that way. Just give me a heads up.
Yeah,
and
Scottsdale,
I'll make it
downtown.
Happen.
That's where they put us. It's about 20 minutes from the airport. Yeah. So.
Yeah, just let me give me a good heads up, and I will. I'll make it happen.
That sounds like fun.
I will always say, any Torch person, they come to town, the first drink's on me. If they come to Phoenix, I should say, the first drink's on me.
Sounds good.
Good to know.
Okay. Yeah, great to know.
See Greg on the
I'll make
tomorrow.
This quick, gentlemen, because I know it's late your time, and I don't have, and you cover a lot already. I like some of the. I called in an hour late. I'm sorry, Greg, but you know my mind just kind of wandered, and next thing you know it's 6 o'clock Arizona time. So you're already into your show. But a couple of things. The thing I actually like to bring up is that they haven't had this in a while, and we had a naming issue with it when they did have it. but I would like to see them bring back the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. Now, I know that there's a lot of, you know, just general fans and maybe even talking heads or people who write for a living, write wrestling for a living, you know, having everybody, in quotation marks, getting their WrestleMania moment or putting as many people on the card as possible. You know, I've never had a problem with that because, you know, that's what wrestlers want to do. They want to be on those big shows. And if the organization or the federation or however you want to name it can do that, I'm all for it. You know, it's been a couple years, probably before the, like Frank just mentioned, Thunderdome lockdown period, that we've had a women's battle royal. I'd like them to bring it back. So get your two opinion on it. And then also the controversy when they had maybe the first or second one was they were going to name it the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal. And I believe it was Snickers, which is, I believe is also the Mars company or corporation. They did not like hearing about some of Moolah's exploits during her wrestling career. So they kind of nixed the name, or they didn't want to necessarily be associated with the name from what I've read, I should say. So a question about, would you bring back the Women's Battle Royal? And even if you did or didn't, you know, what would be your opinion of it, is that what would you name it, or who would you name it after?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're doing the Andre Battle Royal at SmackDown. So they're not even doing that one at WrestleMania. So, I mean, if you want the female equivalent of that, you know, maybe do it at Raw. If you're not going to do it at the show itself, which, yeah, you know, I don't mind everybody having their WrestleMania moment, but, you know, now with the Battle Royal, not even, you know, the Andre not even happening at WrestleMania and then moving it to SmackDown, I would assume the Women's Battle Royal would be the same. So you could do something where, like, the Raw go-home show for WrestleMania is the Women's Battle Royal, the SmackDown go-home show is the Men's Battle Royal, or even vice versa. I mean, it doesn't really matter. But it would add some uniqueness to WrestleMania week and to those specific shows building to WrestleMania. That is, if you're not going to have them on the show. You know, I think that with the pre-show that WWE has, I wouldn't mind having them be on the pre-show again, and have it, actually both on the pre-show. I think the pre-shows are 2 hours, so you could do one the first hour, one the second hour, and I wouldn't mind that. As far as the naming of it, I mean, Mae Young is right there. Like, you could easily name it the Mae Young Battle Royal. Like, that makes the most sense, and she's revered within WWE anyway. You know, who knows what kind of stories would come out about her, because I think she's, you know, not the same kind of exploits that the Fabulous Moolah was accused of, but, you know, Mae Young was tough in her day, and who knows what kind of stories would come out. But yeah, that would make the most sense for WWE to try to do. Frank, what's your take on the potential of a women's battle royal? Do you think it should be brought back?
I'm fine if they do it. I'm fine if they don't. I just don't know if they have enough bodies. I don't know if they have enough people. I mean, you know, I guess you could conjure up, you know, 20 people, right, outside of the title matches, you know. I mean, outside of, right, we got Charlotte and Rhea, we got Bianca and Asuka, and then you got, you know, the sixth woman. I mean, they're really thin on people. So, you know, looking at this showcase, I mean, that's pretty much all they got left. I mean, you'd have to pull people from NXT. You know, you'd have to pull legends in again. That's just, like, kind of repeating, you know, the Royal Rumble, you know, like, I just don't want to, and I'm all for, you know, equality and everything like that, but I just don't want to do, like, okay, we're doing a men's, so we got to do a women's Royal Rumble too. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't, I don't like that. I don't like that thinking. Like, if you think you have enough people, you know, it'll be a good match, then do it. That's fine. You know, but, you know, whatever. I mean, like I said, if they do it, they do it. They don't, they don't. As far as the naming of it, I was trying to think of a name, and Mae Young is as good as any, so I will ride with that, Greg.
All right, Brian, anything else for us tonight?
The reason why I would stay away from Mae Young is because we already have the Mae Young Classic. I'm sorry. I'm not sure if they were back again. I will throw my support behind.
If they had no plans to do that, I guess they could just do it, name the Battle Royal after her.
I would agree. And I'll throw my hat behind Sensational Sherry Battle Royal. So that's
Yeah, that's a good one. Let me think about that. Yeah, there you go.
Greg, thanks a lot for having me on. I'd like to say hi to I didn't hear Reverend Keith on, but I heard you reference him earlier. Hi, Reverend Keith. Hi, Sean. I was listening when Sean was on. Frank, it's good talking to you again since we have talked before. Greg, I always mention about the great work that you do. Monday, this Monday coming, or tomorrow is Monday, right? Raw will be in Phoenix, and I will be the official Torch correspondent for the Monday Raw out of Phoenix. And that's all I have for this night, gentlemen. Thanks a lot for having me on again, Greg. I really appreciate it. And like you said, Greg, I'm a 32-year Torch VIP subscriber, never unbroken 32 years. So if you're listening to this and you're not a subscriber to the Torch, I say give it a chance, especially this time of year with the amount of audio that, like you said, Greg, you're going to be on. Well, next week is going to be free, of course. When you're on next week, Wrestling Night on Saturday and Wrestling Night on Sunday, Wrestling Night America Saturday, Sunday, I should say. But the roundtables after WrestleMania are going to be epic. And you can go back to roundtables, you know, from WrestleMania 30. And I know Wade and his team have gone back retroactively to do some of the early WrestleManias when there wasn't like a podcast to do live WrestleManias back then. So the Torch podcast or audio is deep. It's a really deep bench that you can go back and listen to. So, Greg, that's all I have. I plugged all my things I'm going to plug. Have a really good night. Thanks a lot, Frank, and thanks a lot, Greg. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you,
absolutely.
Brian.
Thanks, Brian. PWTorch.com/goVIP, of course, is where you can go to sign up for to be a Torch member. Never a better time to do that. WrestleMania week is always, you're going to get so much content. It's going to pay for itself in 1 week, I have a feeling, if you get that subscription. All right, our final phone call is from the 813 area code. I believe this is Jeremy from Tampa.
Hey, yes, it is, fellas, and hey, nice to talk to you this evening. I just wanted to ask you two questions. I know you guys have been talking about Rey Mysterio and Dominic this evening. Is Rey officially retiring this WrestleMania?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been wondering that myself. I don't know.
Yeah, I just thought,
yeah,
you know, him going back and forth.
I feel like if that was the case, they would have pushed that a lot harder, where to the point where we wouldn't be wondering if that was the case. And it's really, you know, it's kind of the same situation as that the potential hair versus mask match that I said, you know, there's still a week. They could throw it in there as an extra stipulation, but it's such a big deal. You really don't want to throw that kind of level of a stipulation in the week before the match, right? And it's the same thing with retiring. You certainly don't want to announce that, oh, by the way, you know, if I lose, I'm retiring, or I'm going to retire at this match. You don't want to announce that a week before either, because it's going to get lost in all the other hype, and it really deserves to stand out on its own. So I don't believe he is. That's my final take on that.
Okay. Also, the other thing, hey, this weekend I had the opportunity, I haven't watched it in almost 25, 30 years, Body Slam the movie. Are they ever going to push this to Blu-ray? It's just a good collector's item.
Body Slam the movie?
I don't remember
it
that.
It was with Rowdy Piper.
Okay. I'm looking it up now.
It came out in 86, yeah.
It did, yep. Directed by Hal Needham, starring Dirk Benedict, Roddy Piper, Tanya Roberts, Sam Fatu, and Captain Lou Albano. That would be the Tonga Kid, Sam Fatu.
Sam was a Tonga Kid, right, okay.
I'm surprised this has not been released on anything yet. March 2011, it was brought to DVD, according to Wikipedia. Blu-ray, I don't know. I wonder if it's on a streaming service. Because that's
yes,
even more important than
Tubi.
Blu-ray. Oh,
you can watch
okay.
it on Tubi. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's and it's free too. It's free. So yeah, it like I think so. If you have the Fox Now app, I think it's a product of Fox. So like if you go to Fox Now, you could click that link or just download the Tubi app. And I use it from time to time. Like. My wife watches the new Fantasy Island, so I wanted to watch the old one, and it was on Tubi. So I checked out an old episode of Fantasy Island. The plane.
I didn't know there is a new Fantasy Island. Oh, wow, that got me interested.
Yeah.
Now.
I just feel
hey,
like,
you,
if,
have a,
you know, with with everything going to streaming, like if things aren't on Blu-ray or DVD yet, I just don't know if they're going to end up being on there. Just to sort of put a final bow on your question.
Yeah, I was just mentioning it was a fun movie. It had a lot of great cameo appearances. I said it would have been cool to have it on Blu-ray, like an extended edition commentary and stuff like that. That's all I was just talking about. Fellas, it's always great talking to you. Mike, you owe me money. And have a good week. Bye.
All right, Mike, you better pay up. I don't know what that was about, but you better pay up. I don't know. Frank, an interesting way to end things here tonight on Wrestling Night in America. Thank you, as always, for being on the show, for helping me preview WrestleMania. And before you go, I'll let you plug your social media and what you do for the Torch.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to be here, Greg. Hopefully I delivered for you on a very big show that you have heading into WrestleMania. You could find me on Twitter at Frank Pettiani. That's at Frank, P-E-T-E-A-N-I. Haven't really tweeted as much lately, but I will be getting back into it a little bit more. I'm not the most frequent person, but, you know, I'll put up a healthy amount of tweets from time to time. On the Torch, I do the premium live event Hits and Misses. So for this coming WrestleMania, I'll probably combine everything into one report since I'm going to night two. You know, so I think it'll just be logistically easier to do that and talk about my in-person experience, which I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be great. I'm glad I was able to get the trip and be able to go out there. And so looking forward to that. Might meet up with Zach. We'll see how that goes. And, of course, my VIP show, Pro Wrestling Then and Now. It's a lot of fun to do. Go back and look at old shows. My most recent episode was with Torch contributor Mike McMahon. I've been wanting to work with him for a while, and it was just great. We went for almost 3 hours with two topics. His Raw look back journey that he had been on for a while. He started back at the beginning, went up to about 97. And also WrestleMania 14, 25-year anniversary of Stone Cold winning the title. And he was in the building for that. So just a great conversation. Greg, of course, you've been on that show. You are long overdue, so I'm going to get you back on at some point. Looking forward to that. That is my work for the Torch.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks again, Frank, for being on here. And we'll look forward to your work in the coming days and weeks.
Absolutely. I won't step on your on-site person next week, but I'll certainly give you a holler, and you know, whatever you guys don't get to, you know, I'll fill in the blanks for you. If there's any other questions you have, I look forward to talking to you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Frank.
You got it, Greg.
And thanks so much for everybody listening here on Wrestling Night in America. Again, next Saturday and Sunday, we will be on the air after WrestleMania goes off the air, whenever that might be, taking your phone calls and emails about the show. So looking forward to that. We'll have more details next week on our Wrestling Night in America changes that will be coming up as we the plan is to move a little more toward YouTube-centric content, which is what a lot of the Torch is doing. So we're going to try to fit more in with the rest of the audio on the Torch and see how that goes. You'll get to see me in addition to hear me for Wrestling Night in America. At least that is the plan. So still some kinks to get worked out there, but I hope to have more information on that next week during WrestleMania weekend. So you can find me on Twitter at Greg M. Parks. You can find my full page column each and every week in the Torch newsletter. And until next week, we'll talk to you then. Because if it's WrestleMania weekend, it's Wrestling Night in America.